Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Covington playing Levine, topside three ball, bam! Onions, baby onions! Zach Levine and the Bulls!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
Levine to White, this time he gives it to Williams for three.
The rookie! The Puma! What a shot!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
It's Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Are you flat out kidding me?
Matt Peck used to do a great job with the Bulls Outsider Show. Now he's doing Locked On Bulls.
There he is, human floor burn.
Oh, don't mess with the Pooch.
But what's his crossover? Bulls bird of free league ghost.
Oh my goodness.
So kick back.
I'm not.
Relax. And get ready for the best hour of your day.
You can just see the vibe.
And these guys are men.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
I love it. Pass to Levine with a right-handed jackhammer slam. Oh, my goodness, that was filthy.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text and voicemail line is always there for you. Our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369 is that number. We'll get to some mailbag stuff later in the week. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app, now available in the iOS and Android stores. Join Jordan and myself later this week, every week, for our Locker Room episodes. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. All right, guys, hope you had a nice weekend. Man, hot one here in Chicago. Everybody enjoying the start to their summers. And meanwhile, we've got some epic NBA playoff action going on. We're going to talk a little bit about that in the first segment. And my take on this idea that given certain teams being eliminated, certain players on certain teams being eliminated, these are shaping up to be boring conclusions to the NBA playoffs or the lack of star power. People talk about how the ratings are going to be terrible and all this as certain teams have made their early exits. And then after that, we're going to talk about a couple of young stars that really shine bright in their respective first-round playoff series from that 2018 draft class. Two players the Bulls missed out on, Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks and Luka Doncic, whose Dallas Mavericks just bowed out in Game 7 against the Clippers yesterday. Meanwhile, the Bulls pick from that draft class is now in Orlando, that being Wendell Carter Jr. Interesting things to talk about with both of those players and how they, in revisionist history, could have related to the Bulls. And in Luka's case, a way in which maybe the Mavs are still on the Bulls' radar for this offseason. So all that coming up on this Locked On Bulls. So we have now made it through the first round of the 21 NBA playoffs. The lone Game 7 that we got was Dallas and the Clippers. The Clippers finally winning a home game in a series that saw the road team win each of the first six games. Kawhi stepped up big. Playoff P, aka Paul George, also had a decent night, maybe starting to redeem his playoff reputation. And they were able to overcome yet another insane performance from Luka the Phenom Doncic, who put up, you know, another 40-point near triple-double. Dude's putting up 40-point playoff games at a ridiculous pace and already has more than some of the biggest names in NBA history. But so even with Luka's exit, people have started to talk about the lack of stars, the lack of intrigue or interest in the conference semifinals, conference finals, and finals, given the teams that are left. And while I certainly see what some people are talking about with, okay, no LeBron and Anthony Davis. Well, that's boring. You always want LeBron in the finals, or at least in the conference finals. Steph and the Warriors couldn't even make it out of that play-in. Some maybe would have rather seen them secure the, you know, seventh or eighth seeds. And so this will be, I believe I saw, the first NBA finals without LeBron or Steph Curry's teams since 2010. Got to go back 10 years, 11 years to go to an NBA Finals that did not feature one of LeBron and or Steph Curry. That's crazy. And those have been probably the two biggest named stars in this league over the past decade, with LeBron's Heat and Cleveland Cavaliers teams making deep runs, many finals appearances, and winning a couple of chips, and Steph Curry's Warriors doing the same thing. So no LeBron, no Steph in these upcoming NBA Finals. You also just have, you know, non-big market teams as another thing that people are discussing, as the Knicks, which were a fun short-lived four seed, are now out. And the Lakers are now out. And people were worried if the Clippers choke this away, then both of the big LA teams will be out. So they're the whole like, oh, nobody wants to watch small market teams. That's another thing that people are talking about. But I look at these second round matchups and I can't grasp why people are complaining about this. You still have Brooklyn, New York team, pretty darn big market. They're not the Knicks, but it's still New York. Oh, and by the way, three of the biggest stars in the league are on that team. Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. Is that not enough star power for you in their second round matchup going against the reigning still back-to-back league MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks? That not enough star power for you? Giannis's story of amazing regular season has continuously fallen short in the playoffs, as the Bucks have been in years past picked to be a team that comes out of the East, maybe even win it all. Is that not enough of an intriguing second round matchup for you? Brooklyn, Milwaukee? It's a shame that we're getting it in the second round. Probably should be the conference finals. Oh, meanwhile, the other second round in the East, you've got Joel Embiid coming off of an amazing year, probably going to be the runner-up for MVP this season. His co-star, Ben Simmons, and a Philly team that, like Giannis and the Bucks, is trying to prove the doubters wrong, finally getting over the hump to say, we are good enough to get to the finals out of the East, good enough to win a championship. And they're going up against this scrappy Hawks team led by the always entertaining and wildly impressive third-year player Trae Young, who led his Hawks to a, I believe, 20-win jump from last season to this season, just knocked off D. Rose and Tibbs and the Knicks as the 5 seed in a 4-5 matchup, upset Philly on the road in game one of that conference semifinal series. Is that enough star power and intrigue for you? I don't get what people are complaining about. Okay. Quick break to tell all of you guys that if you're the hiring expert for your company, what you really need is help making your shortlist of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that must have qualifications, and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests and add those skills tests to your must-have requirements so you only pay for applications that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Again, that's a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Today's episode is also brought to you by our great friends at Built Bar. Did you know Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors? Plus the occasional limited time flavors. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. Try all 9 of them. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. If you haven't tried these flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of their 9 flavors. Not only are these Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy for you too. Most of their flavors have 17 packed grams of protein, but only 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar, and 4 net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And then if you shift to the West, yes, LeBron is out. Let's all take a moment to, you know, clutch our safety blankets and do whatever we need to do to get past the fact that LeBron and his Lakers are no longer a part of the NBA playoffs. A single fucking tear rolls down my cheek. The Western Conference second round matchups are also pretty darn interesting. Utah has been the best team in the league all season long. Well, nobody wants to talk about it. It's Utah. Nobody cares. It's Utah. I mean, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, not only their play on the court, but this weird infighting and reports of issues in the locker room. Is it Rudy's team? Is it Donovan's team? Are players, are teammates of theirs taking sides? All the while, the team is winning and winning and winning. That sounds a hell of a lot like Bulls dynasty stories of years past, doesn't it? A lot of infighting, a lot of egos, a lot of stuff behind closed doors that people are kind of hearing about but not fully hearing about, and yet they go out on the floor and win. Do you not find that interesting? The team that they are now going up against in round two, the Clippers, who just barely escaped yet another catastrophic disappointment after their epic collapse in the bubble playoffs last season, you know, did all this crazy stuff they had to do to get Kawhi and Paul George together with the Clippers and almost coughed it up again, came back from an 0-2 hole after losing the first 2 games of the series at home. And you still have all of this, was it a mistake for Kawhi to go to LA? Should he have stayed in Toronto where he won a title? And as my guy Big Dave would say, turned down being the king of not a city, not a state, not a province, but an entire country. Nah, thanks Canada. Thanks for the fun times and the one chip. I'm going to LA. And people talking about Kawhi and whether or not he's thinking about if he made a mistake going to playing with the Clippers, what his future holds. And meanwhile, Paul George, who everybody gets their turn ragging on when it comes to playoff time in the NBA, his teammate, is he going to show up? So you have those big stars, Kawhi, Paul George, those storylines, that team. You got playoff Rondo in the mix. You got all this stuff going up against Utah. The quietly, but also not so quiet when it comes to stuff going on in their locker room, best team in the league all season. Is that not interesting or intriguing for you? And then Nuggets, Suns. I mean, I was devastated when the Jamal Murray injury news broke because I thought, based on the way that team was playing, despite that they weren't going to be the top seed, the Nuggets had a very good chance to win it all. That's how good that team looked. That's how good their MVP, the league's MVP, Nikola Jokic, looked. And you saw what Murray did in the bubble playoffs last year. Astounding. A lot of people wrote them off with the Murray injury. And it's not wrong that people did. I kind of thought, well, crap, there goes Denver's chances. The way they finished out the regular season without Jamal Murray, their star guard, other players stepping up, some big games from MPJ here, Aaron Gordon there, all the while Jokic doing his thing. That is a fun team to watch. If you don't enjoy watching the Nuggets play basketball, you're not a basketball fan. And then Phoenix. I hate Chris Paul. If you listen to this podcast, if you listen to me talk about the NBA for a while, you know that I hate Chris Paul. Just a shade under LeBron for a lot of the same reasons. But you cannot deny what he has meant to that Phoenix team this season. But come on, Devin Booker. How are you not entertained by that dude playing basketball? Chris Paul means a lot. And so the shoulder injury in round one had a lot of people say, oh man, this might be LeBron's kind of get out of jail free card to kind of squeak through this first round because he's not having to deal with a fully healthy Chris Paul, because no offense to our old pal Cameron Payne, you can't replace Chris Paul with Cam Payne. But Devin Booker does enough, more than enough, to say, to hell with that. We're ending that series in game six. A lot of people say, oh, obviously the Lakers are going to take game six. I said, obviously the Lakers are going to take game six. I'm astonished that the Suns closed it out like that, and good for them for doing so. And also props to DeAndre Ayton, who, you know, not a whole lot of people talk about. With the arrival of CP3 and Book being the big star, Ayton played damn well in that series against a very big Lakers team. So that team going up against Jokic, the MVP, and his still fighting with, despite losing their all-star backcourt guy, that second round matchup, not interesting enough for you? What are these complainers complaining about? Here I am complaining about the complainers complaining. But this is cool. And I didn't really think about it until somebody pointed it out. But with the Lakers exit, the Warriors not making it, et cetera, and then the Mavs bowing out in game seven to the Clippers. Of the remaining eight teams in these NBA playoffs, you want to hear the last time these eight teams won an NBA title? Because up until yesterday, when they were still alive, the most recent winner of an NBA title that was still in it was Dallas, when Dirk led them to a title, upsetting the Heatles in 2011, 10 years ago. Now that they're out, the most recent winner who's still in it, the Sixers, who won it in 83. Then the Bucks in 71, the Hawks in 58, and then the other five teams who are still in it, Clippers, Nets, Jazz, Suns, and Nuggets. None of those five franchises have ever won an NBA championship in their franchise's history, in the league's history. So you got a 5 out of 8 chance that we're going to have a first time ever NBA champion crowned? And if it's not one of those five, then it's a team that hasn't won it in at least since the Sixers did it in 83. Bucks, Hawks, 71, 58. Those teams breaking those long droughts of championship basketball. Are you not interested by that story? I find it interesting. It's a nice change of pace from, oh, LeBron, oh, Steph. We marvel at the league's best stars, and it's always entertaining when they're on the floor in these deep playoff runs to the very end in the final series when the champions are crowned. It's also okay to get seasons where it's somebody new. For the love of God, I welcome and relish it being somebody new. And to suggest that what we're going to watch in these second round matchups, in these conference finals, and whoever it is in the finals, isn't going to be entertaining enough, isn't going to have enough star power, then you're not an NBA fan. You're a casual who said, oh, the Lakers not in it? I'm not watching. Is LeBron not in it? Oh, is a big market team not in it? I'm not watching. You're not an NBA fan. And you have no right to have an opinion on the matter. If you look around these second round matchups and say, nah, pass, not interested, get the hell out of here with that. I can't wait to see how these second round playoffs pan out. So there's that. There's my complaint for the day. Enjoy these NBA playoffs. These second rounds are going to be fun. And today's playoff talk, the road to the finals, our playoff coverage, was brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. All right, y'all. So that whole rant about the playoffs not being interesting, being a bunch of crap, took me longer than expected. So in the remaining time, what I want to do is quickly touch on these guys from the 2018 draft, Trae Young and Luka Doncic, who both balled out in their first round matchups. Sadly, we don't get to watch Luka anymore. Shout out to my guy, John Sabine. I hope you're doing okay, buddy. I know it must be devastating to lose a game seven. I wouldn't know as a Bulls fan. We only win game sevens, except for that stupid Boston series in 2009. Anyway, so the Bulls in an alternate universe could have had Trae Young. If you guys remember, there was that coin flip between the Bulls and Sacramento leading up to the draft lottery for 2018. And the Bulls won the coin toss to stay in their spot one spot ahead of Sacramento. But the Bulls from that spot actually fell when the real lottery happened, and Sacramento jumped from seventh to second. And we all know, shame on Vlade Divac, they used that second overall pick on Marvin Bagley the third, who is no scrub, but he's also not Trae Young, and he's also not Luka Doncic. So where would the Bulls be? Obviously, I would have preferred Luka. And if you guys recall, we were doing this podcast all the way back in 2018 leading up to that draft. And I was not super high on Trae Young. I will admit I was partially wrong about him in that I thought he was going to be a good NBA player, a useful NBA player, but not a star. All the people making the Steph Curry comps just because of the way he played at Oklahoma, I was telling people to pump the brakes. And is Trae Young Steph Curry yet? No, not by a long shot as far as years in the league and accomplishments and accolades in those years. But damn, is he good. And he's better at the NBA level than I thought he would be. His game has translated better than I thought it would. And here he is with an upset win in game one of the second round of the NBA playoffs in his third season. If the Bulls had been the team to jump up to number two, would they have happily just taken Trae Young? Possible. There was also a lot of talk about the Bulls being really high on Jaren Jackson Jr. and wanting to ideally pair him in the front court with Lowry, who at the time they thought was a foundational piece. So even though the Bulls, and remember back then, they also had recently acquired one Chris Dunn, who they thought maybe this is the point guard of the future. Maybe they wouldn't have looked all that closely at Trae Young because they thought, all right, positional need, big. Let's get this Jaren Jackson Jr., who we really love, and we've got Chris Dunn, so we don't need you, Trae Young. And then the Luka thing. Supposedly, there was some internal disagreements in the Bulls management as far as whether or not Luka was thumbs up or thumbs down, which they weren't the only ones. There were some people who doubted Luka's ability and whether or not he would translate to dominating EuroLeague, to dominating the NBA, which is silly still all these years later. Tony Kukoc just got inducted to the Hall of Fame. And he, by all accounts, will be surpassed in career accomplishments by one Luka Doncic. And we know that already 3 years into Luka's career. But as far as Trae, maybe the Bulls were the team that, instead of Atlanta, ends up making a deal with Dallas. Because everything that we heard was Mark Cuban and the Mavs saying, we want Luka. We don't want Luka. We need Luka. He is going to be the bridge and our next Euro superstar, phenom, to take the torch from Dirk. And they gave up a first-round pick to swap up a few spots so that they could get Luka instead of Trae. And a lot of people, just silly nonsense on Twitter, people being like, well, look, everybody, you know, poo-pooed Trae Young. Atlanta could have had Luka, and they, you know, settled for Trae Young. Well, they settled for Trae Young and another first-round pick, another first-round lottery-level pick. And, well, look, Trae Young's in the second round, and Luka's not. Okay, that is a completely hollow argument with no context. Atlanta built themselves a nice little squad, and Luka has no help. And we'll get to that a little bit later. I wonder where the Bulls would be right now if they said, well, you know, we like Chris Dunn, but love Trae Young. He's here at two. Let's take him here at two. Or maybe if Dallas is picking up the phone calling the Bulls to say, we'll give you another first-round pick if you let us swap with you so that we can have Luka and you take Trae. If the Bulls weren't even convinced and all on the same page about Luka, and they were willing to, you're gonna throw us another first round pick so that you can have a player that we're about, seems pretty logical that would be a trade that the Bulls would say yes to, right? So where would they be now if they said, well, we like Chris Dunn, but we don't love him, so let's take Trae Young, see what happens. Would they be in the playoffs now? Possibly. Certainly a better likelihood with the way Trae Young has played. Who's to say? It's kind of a torturous exercise. what could have been, what might have been. But there was just not very much talk, if you guys recall, about Trae Young to the Bulls. You know, obviously, once the lottery had been, you know, decided the way it was, there were talks about the Bulls and maybe they'd trade up. But it was always Jaren Jackson Jr., Jaren Jackson Jr. Which, you know, whatever. There was a lot of talk about Michael Porter Jr. also. He falls all the way to 14. The Bulls and a lot of other teams worried about the medicals from his draft combine. And the Bulls say, all right, Wendell Carter Jr., slightly undersized center, but great kid, good skills, great blue chip program. That's what we'll do. It was very predictably Bulls that what ended up happening was Wendell, who is now gone. So as you sit here and watch Trae Young fight his way through the playoffs with just dazzling performances, you can't help but wonder, man, what if that stupid coin flip went the other way? And the Bulls are in a position where they're fielding offers from teams that want to trade up because they have the number two pick. And do they, early in a rebuild, say, throw in another first? We can make two first-round picks? Because we know that the past regime loved them their picks, except if they were second-rounders, of course. But you could be seeing Trae Young and some other prospect from that 2018 draft class that the Bulls had two first-round picks, you know, in the same draft class, and this roster would look very different. But it's about to look very different again next season. Already looked pretty different midway through this season. So we'll see what Trae Young does. And man, there are plenty of people, myself included, who are surprised by what he's accomplished so far. It was funny that somebody retweeted the Bulls Talk account with just some tweet about how, speaking it into existence before the 2018 draft, Trae Young to the Bulls. A lot of no's, a lot of hell no's, a lot of hard passes in the replies to that tweet from a few years back. And I wasn't a hell no. I wasn't a hard pass on Trae Young. But I was a doubter. I was certainly a skeptic. And he's proven a lot of skeptics wrong. Okay. Want to touch on one other quick thing that involves Luka Doncic, the Mavs exit, and our Bulls. First, though, want to tell you guys about Bet Online. These NBA playoff games are awesome. And you know what makes them more fun? Gambling on them. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. The Cubs and Sox are both kicking butt in Major League Baseball right now. You can track all that action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online or on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs through these playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So you sign up for an account, put $100 in that account, they're going to give you an extra 50 to play with. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Again, that's promo code Locked On. All right, y'all. Luka. Whew. Luka. When you saw some of the stats coming through the further that series went along about this is how many field goals the Mavs had tonight, and this is how many that Luka either scored himself or assisted on. And it was, I think in game five, it was 31 of 37 or something crazy. And the number of points that the Mavs managed to be ahead of the Clips as far as Luka's on off in the entire series. When it was said and done after game seven, I believe the Mavs were a plus 7 or 8. So not a huge margin, but a plus margin with Luka on the floor. And in the comparatively way small number of minutes that he was off the floor, I think spanning all seven games, it was around 50 minutes, 53 minutes, something like that, that he spent off the floor. They were like a negative 50. He didn't have help. Tim Hardaway Jr. had some big games for them this season. Kristaps Porzingis is apparently unhappy that he's been treated not as a co-star, but as an afterthought. Well, you're playing like an afterthought. In the do or die game seven, Tim Hardaway Jr. and Kristaps, Luka's arguably two most useful helpers, combined to go 1 of 14 from behind the 3-point line. 1 of 14. As impressive as Luka's stat lines have been all season long, he should probably be averaging 2 or 3 more assists per game on top of his already gaudy assist numbers if his teammates could just knock down shots. So the point I'm getting to here is Luka needs help. Luka is a superstar who can carry a team through the playoffs if he has a little more help. That's what he needs, a little more help and a specific kind of help. So as the Bulls try and figure out what they are going to do this offseason with Lauri Markkanen, restricted free agent, common belief right now is that he is looking for a role and a salary that is bigger and higher than what the Bulls envision moving forward. Lost his starting spot midway through the season. There also have been rumors, reports that Dallas might be a potential landing spot for Lauri, that maybe he wants to go play there, that maybe the Mavs are interested in his services. And okay, Dallas, you know, bigs who can shoot, 7-footers who could shoot, they already have one. His name is Kristaps Porzingis, and he's on a just disgusting monster of a contract. So do they try and find a way to dump KP if he's unhappy and say, hey, Lauri, can you be a less expensive version of Kristaps and pair this Euro player with this Euro player? We'll try it again. Luka and Lauri instead of Luka and KP. It's like in a simplistic way, a decision for the Mavs that could make sense on paper and based on what we have seen that organization do. But it doesn't make sense in that, while not trying to disrespect Lauri or KP, and as much as KP was underwhelming throughout large parts of the season, throughout their one-and-done playoff series, Lauri ain't better. He's not. We were making Kristaps Lauri comparisons when Lowry's a rookie, a second-year player. He didn't progress like that. And now it's like, well, you know, Kristaps ain't much, but Lowry's less. So, yeah, if you can find a way to dump KP and sign Lauri to a contract where you're not paying him as much as you were paying KP, but are you still overpaying for a player that gives you less than KP gave you? Unless Lauri, with a new change of scenery in ways that we have seen former Bulls find a new home and flourish, shout out Daniel Gafford, and Lauri explodes into the star, borderline star caliber player that we thought and hoped he could be, I suppose that's still not impossible to see happen. I wouldn't call it likely. Meanwhile, what do we know about Lauri? Despite early signs that he could be a guy to generate his own scoring opportunities, put the ball on the floor, take advantage of mismatches, and score at all three levels, we have aggressively seen the opposite come true. When you talk about, and Jordan and I have talked about it this season at various points when we've talked about Lauri struggling, that a ridiculous number, like something above 80%, 85% even, of his made field goals this season were assisted, aka set up for him. That's not what Dallas needs. Clearly, as you're seeing these insane stats after every Clippers-Mavs game of this series saying, wait, Luka was responsible for how many of their points scored or assisted? These shooters that you've put around Luka, none of them can penetrate, create their own shot, do anything other than catch and shoot. And when they're not hitting their catch and shoot shots, the team's not very good. So Bulls fans wondering about a sign and trade where, hey, maybe if the Mavs are interested, we can get something for Lauri instead of losing him for nothing as a restricted free agent. People are talking about that in Bulls Nation right now. But to me, it's like adding Lowry helps the Mavs in no way unless Lowry completely morphs into a better player than what we've seen over the past couple of seasons. The Mavs need another player other than Luka who can generate looks for himself and his teammates. That is clearly what this Mavs team is lacking. And that ain't Lowry. So to me, it seems like a pipe dream to be talking about sign and trade Lowry to Dallas because they're disappointed. They need better help for their superstar who is about to sign himself a huge $200 million-plus extension for a Supermax star. You're spending all that money on Luka to keep him happy in Dallas, to keep him in Dallas. You better give him better pieces to help him win. Because I bet you that dude already is sick of not getting past the first round of the playoffs. Does adding Lowry, a lesser version of KP, help you if you're Dallas in any way? I don't see how. They need playmaking to complement Luka's playmaking and to give him a little bit of a breather as far as him being the only person on that floor who can create shots for not only himself but for his teammates. And Lowry can't do that. So, big decisions ahead for the Bulls, for Dallas. Meanwhile, Trae Young and the Hawks keep on chugging. Can't wait to watch the next game of that series. Appreciate all of you for watching. Just a reminder, if you are listening to this in your preferred podcast platform, there are still some issues going on with Apple Podcasts. So if you're wondering where our episodes have been, find yourself the Bulls, the Locked On Bulls podcast, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you want to find your pods. And we are also on YouTube now. Subscribe to that Locked On Bulls channel on YouTube. What's up, YouTube people? For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck, saying thanks for listening, everybody. Jordan and I will be back on the mics together for the next couple of episodes. We look forward to talking to you more then. And in the meantime, 331-979-1369. Hit us up with all of your Bulls and NBA thoughts, questions, inquiries, comments, and we will do some mailbag stuff later this week. See you, Red. Be good. Peace out.